Welcome to Listen to the Heartbeat with Aaron G. Listen to the Heartbeat is a platform where you matter, a platform where your voice will be heard. The two voices we're going to hear today is Danny K., who's also our student body president here at Mount Si. And we have Genesee. Genesee is a member of Rising Scholars. Well, we all are members of Rising Scholars. And I believe she's in the work study program as well, because she took the time out of her work hours. She's been blessed to come over here and share with us about Rising Scholars. And Danny will as well. And Danny can also add to some of the things we can look forward to, because she's an outstanding student body president. Jenny, the floor is yours.
Thank you for having me, Aaron. So yeah, a little bit about Rising Scholars. I believe in education instead of incarceration. I think I've been part of Rising Scholars for a little bit over a year, transferred over from ELAC. I was first introduced to Homeboys Industries, and they pretty much told me to look out for Rising Scholars when I transferred over to Mount Sac. In doing so, I did find Rising Scholars. They were very helpful in my journey. You know,
you mean they, when you say they were helpful, in what areas are they helpful?
Pretty much they were, you know, since day one, I was introduced to them from my previous school and Homeboys Industries. And when I landed to Rising Scholars, I want to say if it wasn't for places like Rising Scholars, I think I probably would have not kept on going, because I originally signed up for some certificate courses. I've exceeded that. And now I'm looking to get my associate's in addiction studies and looking to transfer in order to get my bachelor's in humanity. And they've really been supportive. They have their tutoring there. They have counselors there. You know, they help bridge the gap, you know, because like I said, when I first landed there, I was skeptical about sticking around. I wasn't sure if I could do it. But because I found a home in Rising Scholars, you know, with the students, from the staff to the students, it's been a little bit more manageable. And my goals have shifted, you know, because of the support from people like our director and other peers that are influential in doing their journey in education. So today it looks, you know, things have changed, and it's only due to Rising Scholars.
So you reminding me of Jason Chico. Come on now, somebody.
Come on, somebody.
Come on, somebody. You spoke about an inspiration, and that inspiration was that Rising Scholars believe in education over incarceration, and how it has helped you probably mentally, emotionally, and create a new type of family. Tell me how this new family environment has inspired you.
Well, again, I think support is very big turning to school. So in my case, I'm 42 years old. I haven't been behind a computer screen in quite some time. And so once I was put behind the computer screen, I started to see that I had challenges. It was hard for me to focus. I had other factors. And so, like I said, they provide tutoring and support there. So they were able to direct me to certain programs that were able to help with my situation. And they, like you mentioned, I'm a peer mentor there. I do work part-time there as the work study. And so I'm able to work with other students. And I see when the new student comes in, how maybe like scared they are or nervous. And so, you know, when we get to know them and we work with them and let them know that we were just like them, you know, don't worry, we got you. It's a little bit, it's a beautiful thing to see that they stick around, and then their goals change. They go like myself. They go from certificates to associates, and you kind of make like your community down there. We do. It's a growing place. I think it started with like 15 to 20 students, and It's somewhere like around 300 right now, and still growing. So yeah.
One more question. How does being a peer mentor, those little bitty wins, how does those little bitty wins make a difference in your life?
It gets me out of self. So when I'm over here worried about my grades, or when I'm over here struggling, it's easy to give advice to the students, but it's, you know, to take my own advice. So it helps me reel things back in. So like, you know, I'm over there telling a student, hey, take advantage of this counseling at the library or whatever it might help them, but I won't be quick to take it. And it helps me kind of just settle down, take advantage of the resources resources and the help, but it's a pleasure to work with the students, you know, and every day I'm reminded that, and oh, I, before when I did start Mount SAC, I would leave my backpack in the car. And once I was done with campus, it was, you know, forgotten about it. But now that I'm a peer mentor and working with others, I tend to get to campus earlier. I tend to leave later. And I tend to take advantage of the support services, like places like the library or the writing center. Yeah, or like the Turk Center. Mm-hmm. So
thank you for sharing. That's real enlightening. Danny, how long has it been now for you being a part of Rising Scholars? Let's talk about that before we go into some other stuff we can ask you about as far as student government.
Sure.
Tell us about your journey with Rising Scholars.
So I came to campus late start fall 2021, and Rising Scholars was the first place that I walked in and asked for guidance. I looked through all the programs on the website before I got to campus, and as a non-traditional parent student who's also formerly incarcerated, I felt like Rising Scholars would be a place that I would probably feel the most comfortable getting started. The Rising Scholars program at Mount SAC seeks to assist students directly impacted by the criminal justice system navigating through higher education. And we do get to choose four educational pathways. Some of us are completing our high school diploma or getting a GED. Some of us are working on a vocational pathway. Maybe we want to do some HVAC or something along those lines. Others are getting an associate's degree and some want to transfer. I thought I just wanted a certificate. I was just trying to prove something to my kids about the benefits of education. And at this point, I'm almost entirely committed to a master's Juris Doctorate program. So I'm hoping to get a PhD. So I'm definitely not going to walk away with a certificate.
So let's go back again. And will you remind us again of those four areas mm-hmm. that is important, because someone may be coming in considering just getting a GED.
It's four pathways. Some people are coming to finish maybe where they left off in high school. Life might have happened and they elected to focus on other aspects of life besides getting that high school diploma. So we have our adult basic education, and you can get your GED or your diploma, either one. One of the cool things about our ABE program is that you can take four credit courses at the same time, and those four credit courses, meaning you're receiving units that count towards an associate's degree or a certificate, those units will count towards your diploma as well. So it's kind of like killing two birds with one stone, per se. Another area path would be to receive a certificate or a vocational license of some sort. So perhaps you are interested in real estate, maybe, or maybe you want to do something along the lines of social justice and do paralegal services or tax preparation. We have those options as well. And then an associate's degree is something anyone can obtain, and that would just be regarding an area of interest. So yours might be radio, television, broadcasting, and production. I'm walking with the RTV, such as yourself, Aaron, as well as a sociology, a communications, social justice, and global studies, world languages. And I'm going to get a certificate in forensics competition management because I really enjoyed the competitive aspect of our speech and debate team here on campus. So there are a lot of ways to get engaged. One of the things in terms of being a Rising Scholar, our director and my peer mentor, Carlos Lopez, suggested that I become a peer mentor at the very beginning of my time there with them. And at that time, Joe had a grant program. And so he placed me on that grant program, and I was able to sign a 2-year contract to be a peer mentor. And the responsibility that I took, where I thought I could shine and inspire others in the Rising Scholars program, is through social justice, policy reform, and student leadership. So what my intention was to kind of kick in the door, waving the 4-4, right? And just be a Rising Scholar in these spaces that normally you wouldn't find necessarily a system impacted person in, and using my voice to not only impact the experience of all students on campus, because as president, I represent all students and all their interests, but also to say, and by the way, I am a Rising Scholar. And so I walk through the door with my entire experience, all lived experiences, present. I'm not putting my past behind me as I walk through the door. I'm walking as a whole person. And I do want to give that up to Joe Lewis. When I was invited to see him defend his dissertation, it was about specifically the impact of the stigmas that formerly incarcerated people face in higher education and in life. And when he got his PhD and came home to Mount SAC, accepted the directorship at the Board of Trustees meeting, he said, "I'm an addict." And that's how he started his acceptance speech in front of, like, our vice, you know, our principals, our deans, our, you know, just every single person on campus who has some sort of status. You know, he didn't keep that behind him. He included it. Now, Joe Lewis has been clean for over 12 years, but that's still how he walks through the door. And that's empowered me to do the same and to walk through the door open and honest about everything that I've experienced in life, and in the way that is very empowering, because I don't ever have to worry now about somebody running my background and trying to bring something up, because guess what? I brought it all to the table for y'all, and I'm offering it to you as a lived experience, and I will go ahead and be that expert for you since you haven't had that experience. I can speak on that.
Jason Chico is not here, but real
on,
G's,
somebody.
Real G's get degrees.
Skip
and,
degrees.
And in certain educational environments, we are credited with our lived experience.
Mm-hmm.
And I admire that the brother would say, "My name is so-and-so, and I have recovered from this, this, and this." To be an example, as you said, you chose to be your authentic self and an example that just because there is a label, it's not a permanent label. Mm-hmm. I'm glad you mentioned that, because I remember a song when I was young. I think it was by Neil Sedaka. And Neil Sedaka said, there's gangsters in power and lawbreakers making rules.
Mm-hmm.
So we're not the real criminals. Right? Mm-hmm. I like to say that when I share with people, "Hey, you know, I got mental health issues." They say, "Really?" I say, "Yeah, because the world is ran by psychopaths, sociopaths, and narcissists. So how can I not be affected?"
Mm-hmm.
Side joke. But in closing, Danny, tell us what we can continue to expect from you in representing us as students, as the student body president.
So as student body president, I have focused entirely on putting student voice, meaning the students themselves, in seats of shared governance spaces. We have 38 college-wide committees on campus that make decisions everywhere, ranging from basic needs to buildings, when buildings are going to be erected, what they're going to be used for, everything from our campus safety to simple stuff like when the W is going to be put on for a semester. Very, very interesting topics. And each committee has a purpose and function that they have to focus on in their weekly or monthly work. And what I have done is I have made sure that there is a student voice on every single one of those committees. Additionally, we have a third branch of government on our campus, which is our student court. And I recommended a diverse population of students to student court. So we have Juan Mendoza on student court, who is an amazing advocate for the deaf and hard of hearing population. And he also is blind and sees better than so many people who have their full eyesight. He's absolutely an amazing person. And then I'm not going to name the rest because of their anonymity. I don't know how to say that, but to remain anonymous as student court, considering that they handle our student grievances. So if a student has an issue with, say, a faculty or somebody on campus, they can file a grievance, and that is a grievance that is brought to student court, and it is seen before their peers, an advisor, and usually like a dean or something like that. And so I've appointed additional students there that represent more of our student population than just one particular demographic. So we now have a very broad range of voices at the tables. And in terms of branching out a little farther, I tied that into my role as the Vice President of Communications for the Student Senate of California Community Colleges, which is the official student voice of the 2.1 million students in the state of California. We deal with the chancellor, we deal with legislators, we go to DC, we do a lot of lobbying. And so I want to continue to bring students to the table to sit in places that we don't necessarily know that we're invited to, but the chair is there, and people just shrug their shoulders and say, well, the student could be here, they're just not here. No, guess what? Mm-hmm. They will be there, because I'm going to open the door and I'm going to make sure that they feel comfortable in that seat, and that they're welcomed, and that they're well versed in what their role is in that seat, so they can function to their full capacity when they sit there. And that's kind of what I'm doing right now. I am running for president again for this next term as I finish here at Mount San Antonio College. And I'm really excited to continue to empower our students and to leave a legacy. I want to pass the torch and have a handbook, so to speak, that other students can use to reference, so that they don't feel like they're blind and they only have this one term, that they're having to, you know, find their way through it without having any kind of guidance. You know, Juan finds his way through this campus, even though his eyes are covered, he finds his way through this campus with that stick that he uses and with the memory and the information that he has about our campus. And I want to provide that guide stick and that information for other students, so they feel just as empowered as Juan does to navigate through our campus like a G, just like he is. And so that's something that I'm doing. I'm also finishing a shared governance handbook right now with our faculty senate. And that shared governance handbook is basically going to be the rule book for our governance spaces, so that no one can change the rules on us. And I'm playing in a bigger sandbox now with the state, and I'm learning. People learn how to manipulate the rules. They learn how to change them around to serve them. And if you don't understand how to read that rule book and you don't even have access to it, you get played. And I'm not going to allow that moving forward for anyone else.
Real G's get degrees. You heard it first here on Listen to the Heartbeat. I want to thank Janet, and I want to thank Danny for coming to share their experiences with Rising Scholars, and Danny sharing her continued fight for all students to be able to dwell in spaces that they don't know they're available. I heard that Janet just heard there's a chair available on one of these committees, and I look forward to seeing her there. You know,
That's right.
I may just jump in, right, because I believe so much in us, the people. I believe that one of the coldest demons we've ever encountered was called false pride.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when COVID started, right, I was blessed to participate in a Zoom platform. We've serviced over 1 million people around the world, and the joy was this, and the joy continues to be. In my hood, they was talking about black power. In your hood, they was talking about brown power. In the Asian hood, they was talking about whatever they was talking about in all these other communities, and white power. But then COVID came, and they said, y'all take your ass in the house.
Mm-hmm.
And I use that analogy because false pride is the belief that somebody's above or below. So this has been then the conditioning. And I'm honored to see you two sisters here talking about the difference in having a family type community to inspire you. And Danny talking about real G's get degrees, and we get to sit in places that we don't even know we invited. But if we don't know how the system works, that seat gonna always be there, and they gonna always be talking about with nobody here.
Mm-hmm.
Right? That's why we chose to, I'll say this and be quiet, allow y'all to dwell on campus for so long, and I know you heard the rats in the wall, until somebody say, hey, y'all pockets getting fatter, but our services is not here. You know, I'm honored again that you two would take the time out and enlighten us.
Thank you, Aaron, for all you do.
Thank you. But you enlighten us that there's some, girl, did you hear that? There's some chairs we don't know we should be sitting in. Mm-hmm. On committees that make decisions about us.
Mm-hmm.
Or they leave us out. Thank you for sharing, Janet, that community does make a difference. Thank both of y'all for sharing that. How far we can go collectively.
That's a yeah.
Hey, listen again. I want to thank y'all for coming to Listen to the Heartbeat. Y'all heard it first. This is Aaron G. That was Janet C. and Danny K.
All day, baby.
Thank you for having us.
Peace out.
Peace.